If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to wander over to about 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, down about verse 11. And in 10 or 15 minutes, I'll get there, so you don't be in no real rush. But
Gospel of John or 1 John?
Gospel of John.
Okay.
Gospel of John, chapter 1, down about verse 11. you have plenty of time to get there. I'm not going to be in no big rush tonight. Most of you are familiar. I used it last week when I was with you last week. And Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua there asks a question and talking to the nation of Israel whether they wanted to serve Baal or they wanted to serve God. And that's sort of what I'd like to talk about tonight is choices and choosing. And Joshua said for him, we'll just kind of paraphrase it. He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If you will, bow with us in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stand before you this evening, dear Heavenly God, Father, we just ask you to hide us behind the cross, speak through the lips of clay. Lord, lead us, guide us, let your Holy Spirit have control of the service. Lord, that we would say and do the things that are very needful for this hour, dear Heavenly Father. Go with us now in forgiveness of sin. If you're blessed, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. I'm going to kind of get ahead of myself from what I intended, but God leading, if you will. But I don't know about you, but when I was saved, the night that I got saved, God come looking for me. He chose, and I want to make this very clear throughout the lesson tonight, God has chosen us. He has looked to us. I stand many times in just complete amazement of the things that God has asked me to do, has allowed me to do, has trusted me to do. First off, why would he ever bother to save a person like me? I've asked him that question. What did I ever do to deserve your love? But yet, and we'll get to it in a little bit more, but he loved me before I loved him. He come searching me. He come knocking on my heart's door the day that I got saved. And folks, a second issue that I'd like for us to kind of put in the back of our minds as we go through what I'd like to look at tonight and it's found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. It said, "The Lord said unto my spirit," or "my spirit shall not always strive with man." There is coming a time and a day. Jesus was asked this question. He said, "I don't know. It's in the Father's hand when he will come again." But folks, there is a time and a day that each and every one of us will stand and give an account of our life. What did we do with Jesus? What did we do with that one that hung on the cross of Calvary, who died for my sin and for your sin tonight? What have we done with that? And folks, I'm looking over the congregation tonight, and all of y'all have been saved for years, served the Lord in many different ways. But I ask you tonight, are we making good choices today as born again believers? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Now, it may sound like a little bit bragging, but I woke up this morning with this lesson on my mind. This is about the fifth or sixth time that I went through this lesson already this week and preparing to teach tonight. It just thrilled me to wake up this morning knowing, hey, it's Wednesday already. It's time to come to church. It's time to be about the Father's business. I like that verse where Jesus was down there in the temple and Mary and Joseph frantically coming looking for him. And he looks at him, I think, with a little bit of astonishment on his face. And he looks at Mary and he says, "Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Folks, let us make the right choices tonight. The Gospel of John 15, verse 15 down through about verse 17. Jesus, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Pick this out. When I look at this, and Lynn not here, so I can tell this one without getting too much trouble. But she has an aunt that passed away this in the last year or so. But she had a child and she adopted a child. And there was years went by. They decided it was time to tell the daughter that had been adopted that she was adopted. And when their natural born child found out that she'd been adopted, the natural born child's wanted to fit. "You chose her. I'm just what you got." Folks, God came looking for you and I. Yeah. He chose us. He picked us tonight. Picked us out. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's where you and I, as born again believers, stand. And if you're hearing this and you're lost, this is what God wants you to have. This is what Jesus went to the cross for, was you and I. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." Now, folks, I ask you, I got saved. I must have been about 15 years old when I got saved. And growing up in Griffithsville over there, here at Garrett's Bend, what could we get into? How much trouble? But, folks, you had to realize that we were lost. We were without Christ. We were in darkness. And yes, it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. "We loved Him because He first loved us." I ask you to find Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 11. And we're going to run through a number of passages tonight dealing with the choices that people make. And the first one is found here in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 11. It says, speaking about Jesus, it said, "He came into His own, and His own received Him not." Choice. The night that I got saved in 1972, I had choice to make. I can remember thinking about this a little while after I got saved. I didn't hear much, if anything, that the preacher said that night. I was sitting on the back row in the church, and Jesus kept dealing with my heart that I needed to be saved. And we'll get into that a little deeper in a minute, but I had to make a choice. Here, the nation of Israel, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, the high priest, the Levites, and other leaders of the nation of Israel, when they saw Jesus, when He came and began to preach and teach, they turned Him down. They said, "No, we don't want that. We don't need that tonight." But I like to go on, verse 12 and 13, if you will, for just a little bit. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Make the right choice. Make a good choice. Choose Christ. Allow Him to come into your life. Recognize Him for the Savior that He is tonight. Because look at what it says in verse 13. "For we which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man." All those physical things that we can add and throw in and say, "Well, you got to do it this way, that way, and some other way." You have to come, at the end of that verse it says, but of God, but the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God the Father tonight, that we have salvation tonight. I seen a couple of pieces of science on the news where they landed at a vehicle on the planet Mars, and how NASA was all excited and so forth. I know all of you have heard about the Hubble telescope that's way out there in space and looking further out into space. And I don't know how far they can see, but they can't see beyond God. They can't see beyond something that God has created. And I don't know about you, but I was a little excited to hear about, well, what is the Mars planet made out of? What does it look like? Pardon?
Grand Canyon. Folks,
yeah, I mean, and you say, well, preacher, why is science? But it's something that God made. God the Father spoke it into existence tonight. It's a part of His creation this evening. And I ask us again, what are we going to do? Where are we? Are we amongst those that have become sons? He gave us the power to become the sons of God. The door is open. The door is open tonight. We have and can come into the presence of a living God tonight. We'll start off with some more of the disappointing folks in Scripture tonight. And the first one that I want to look at, and as far as making choices tonight, is Judas. And I know we're all good Bible students here tonight, and we all know that Judas betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. The question, I think, that's been asked by theologians for hundreds of years or thousands of years is, why would he do that? Well, you think about, I'm going to borrow from Brother Homer here for just a little bit. Not too long ago, he talked about Judas in the message. Judas had been with the rest of the disciples for 3.5 years. He saw all the miracles. He saw, for the most part, he took every step that Jesus took. He saw the lame, the blind. He saw the dead raised, the deaf to hear, the lepers cleansed. Yet we know he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver, price of a slave. That's all he was worth. Let the devil take over his life. Another one that I've often found, when Pastor was preaching on this some few weeks ago, he was talking about folks being in hell. And the one that came to my mind was Pilate examining Jesus, thoroughly examining him. And he says, I find no fault in this man. But yet, and Brother Homer, you was talking about the things that some of the lost people are going to be doing in hell. And I can just, with my imagination, see old Pilate. Because in Matthew chapter 27, down about verse 24, along in there, he said, I wash my hands of this man's blood, this righteous person. And folks, I can just kind of see him going through hell, through eternity, over and over and over and over again, trying to wash the blood off his hands. But folks, it's not going to come off. It's not going to come off. Pilate is going to stand and give an account one of these days for his actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give an account for that. There was a rich man. I didn't write it down. This is one I like to go to from time to time. Should have it memorized in my mind where it's at in Scripture. But he came to Jesus, and boy, he was putting it on thick, if you will, calling Jesus good master. Well, what do I need to do to get salvation. What do I need to get eternal life? Everlasting life. And Jesus began to explain to him about the law. Oh, I've done all that. I've kept the law. And he said, sell all your goods, distribute to the poor, and come and follow me. The rich man, young man, wealthy man, well positioned in life and so on and so forth, went away sorrowful. Couldn't trust the Lord. Couldn't quite trust the Lord. And he went away sorrowful, and I find nowhere in Scripture that he ever came back that way again. Bad choice. Went away sorrowful. Another rich person, the parable that Jesus was teaching down chapter 12 in Luke, said, I've got it made. I've got so much stuff stored up, I'm going to have to tear down my old barns and build new ones to have a place to store all my goods. I'm just going to tell my soul to relax, enjoy life. And then we come back to Genesis chapter 6. God's not always going to strive with man. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And then whose are these things going to be? Folks, this is a beautiful building, and don't get angry at me when I make this statement, but it ought to be a beautiful building. But it's not going to survive eternity. It's not going anywhere. One of these days, this old world's going to come to a close. And what I'm getting at is that everything that we have, everything that we've physically stored up and so forth, is going to be gone. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come, or outlives longer than we live, we're going to leave this world anyway. One at a time. We're just going to keep stepping off out of here. And then whose are these things going to be? Verse 34 of that same chapter there. For where your heart or your treasure is, there is where your heart is also. What have we stored up in heaven? What have we put away? What have we sent, if you will, ahead of us this evening? What choices have we? Do we make choices that we... Don't get mad at me, but did you wake up this morning looking to come to church this evening? Did you make preparation yesterday to be in church this morning? Sunday morning, it was pouring down the rain, and I was sitting over at the house looking at the creek and shaking my head. We're going to get a call here in a little bit. We ain't going to be able to get across the creek. But were you up and preparing to come, thinking about coming to the service that morning? And I know there's times like last Sunday, we all miss church from time to time. It's just one of those things that has to be. But I don't like it. Don't like it. John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, we're all familiar with that chapter. That's where Jesus and Nicodemus, was a ruler, a teacher of the Jew. But he didn't understand being born again. He didn't get that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He didn't quite get it that night. But if you'll turn on over into the Gospels there, you'll find that at the crucifixion of Christ, him and Joseph of Arimathea are the ones who went to Pilate and asked for the body of Christ and put him in Joseph's new tomb. He was there. He understood at that time. May not have always made good choices, I guess, is where I'm going at. But you can change that. You can change your attitude toward the decisions that we make tonight. We can change those attitudes. Story out of Daniel chapter 6. I hope most of us are rather familiar with Daniel. It's one of the things that they taught us when we were just little fellows is Daniel in the lion's den. And I like that story. Old Darius the king was proudly proclaimed that for 30 days no one else can be prayed to except to me. And folks, we're in a time and a place, I truly believe that some of us are going to have to make some decisions. And I hope I have the courage that Daniel has, because it was Daniel's custom to go three times a day, open up the window facing Jerusalem, and open up the window and all the world could see and pray. What do you think Daniel done when that decree was handed down? No praying to anybody but King Darius for 30 days. Daniel didn't waste no time going over to his house, over to putting up the window, looking toward Jerusalem, bowing his head and praying to God. Got him thrown in the lion's den. This is where Richard's imagination kind of gets fun, if you will. Old Darius was up the house wringing his hands and stayed up all night worried about, oh my goodness, we've thrown him in the lion's den. And so as soon as in the morning that he could, he went down to check on Daniel. And I don't know about you, but I would think that a big lion was probably a fairly warm thing to lay against, pretty soft place to lay. And old Daniel, I think, was asleep down there in the lion's den. That's my imagination speaking there tonight. Scripture doesn't tell us. All Scripture tells us is that because Daniel believed in God, nothing happened to him. No hurt came to him. No harm came to Daniel. Now, folks, are we in a place in our lives that we can make that kind of a statement? That it doesn't matter what comes down the pike, what comes down, we're going to be found in the house of the Lord. We're going to be found doing, choosing to do what God has given us to do. Going to look at the Apostle Paul in a couple of different ways here tonight. The Apostle Paul making better choices. As we began to see Paul in the book of Acts, he was on the road to Damascus seeking whom he could find to lock him up, drag him back to Jerusalem and stand trial for serving this Jesus that we crucified. We thought we got rid of him. Matter of fact, if you'll go back into the end of the gospel or at the first of the book of Acts, he was down there holding the coach for those folks that stoned Stephen. He was consenting to the death of Stephen. But later on, we find him stoned, shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake, beaten numerous times, in jailed in many places. And that's where I come to on the second one about Paul. Him and Silas were together down in a place called Philippi. They had stirred up a row down there, had been beaten and thrown into the inner jail. And at the midnight hour, they started singing and praising God. I hope that if I ever get to that place that I could have that kind of courage. My back would be bleeding and I'd still stand up and sing a praise to the Lord, sing and pray to God, sing a song, praise Him tonight. And here's what happens. This is a result of what happens when you and I make the better choices for the Lord tonight. The door swung open. All the chains come loose. I don't know about you, but my imagination kind of running with me again here, if you will. But Scripture tells us that if the jailer come in to look around and thinking himself, I'm going to have to kill myself because they're all escaped. And Paul says, oh, stop. We're all right here. This is a fascinating thought that comes into my mind when I read this story. I would assume that any number of the prisoners in that jail were there because they were criminals. They had been put there legitimately for due cause. And yet the door is open and they don't go anywhere. You talk about the power of God. The power of a strong witness. Because this is where my imagination goes. And I know God was holding them there. Don't misunderstand that, I don't think. But my imagination runs over to, I don't know about you, John, but I'm going to stay right here. I want to see what happens to these two boys next. If this can happen, I got to see how this comes out. I ain't going nowhere. And as a result of that, and we're all, I hope, familiar with the fact that the jailer comes springing in, and he comes in and he later asks Paul and Silas, he said, what must I do to be saved? What can I do to get what you've got? And as a result of that, not only was the Philippian jailer saved, but so was his whole house. So was his whole house. Peter, from fisherman to the fisherman of men. Now Peter is one of my, I like Peter, I really do. Sometimes I think Peter was kind of like me, he's his own worst enemy. But we find him making bad choices, if you will. Let me start out here. Yes, he followed Jesus when Jesus said, come and follow me. He came and followed. We're all familiar with three times he denied him there while he was being tried there in Pilate's court. Denied him three times. Even later on, Peter give it up. I'm going fishing. I'm going back and get my boat. And that's the latter part of the Gospel of John. We come down to the, and they come rolling in, and Jesus is there on the shore, and he begins to talk to Jesus. Jesus asks him three times, we want to cut this a little short, if you will. Ask Peter three times if you love me. And of course, Peter said yes. Jesus gave him the command, go feed my sheep. Go feed my sheep. But then we find Peter a little bit later on, over about chapter 11, I believe it is, in the book of Acts. James, the brother of John, has been executed by Herod. Peter is chained between two soldiers in the inner part of the prison, waiting his own execution. Herod saw how well it went over with the folks that he executed James. Well, I'm going to wait till after Easter and I'm going to do this to Peter. I'm going to really get some political points. But here's the fun part. Once again, I hope I have this kind of courage. You know where an angel from God came to get Peter out of the prison? And you know where he found Peter? Chained between those two Roman soldiers, sound asleep. He done took his shoes off and his coat off. He was going to spend the night. He went to sleep. Scripture tells us that the angel had to smote him on the side and say, wake up, Peter, put your sandals on and get your coat on. We're going out of here. Folks, tonight, that kind of choices have to be made day by day. You know, we have to look at those things from time to time. I was about to say I wasn't going to turn there, but I will. If you would, turn to 2 Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Down about verse 9, 10, and 11. I'm going to quickly read those if you will. Verse 9, it says, therefore God also hath highly exalted him, speaking of Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I remember that verse, or that two verses, the night that I got saved. As I told you a moment ago, God and Jesus and myself was having a conversation, and this was the conversation. In your present condition, you have no, 15 years old, you have no future. There is no future out there for you. And yes, one of these days, sometime at some place, you are going to kneel down to me and you are going to confess that I am Christ. If I can take a side trip real quick here, Brother Homer, correct me if I'm wrong, but by the time everybody gets to the lake of fire, there's going to be no non-believers. They're all going to believe. Everyone will have bowed, everyone will have confessed that Jesus is the Christ. And folks, Jesus made me understand that I had to make a choice. I could either do it then, and it was going to amount to something, or I could do it later on and still go to hell. But you weren't going to get to hell without going through Jesus Christ. And you do the math. It's been whatever many years it's been. Folks, tonight I want to talk about you and I. Like I said, by your own confession, everybody here tonight's been saved. But what kind of choices are we made? What are we doing for God today? Are we living our lives as we ought to live our lives? Are we doing what God would have us to do? Last and least, I'll take just a few more minutes, if you will. The greatest example that we have is Jesus Christ Himself. Read through the Gospels. Time and time again, Jesus went off by Himself to pray to God the Father, seeking Him. And coming back to the verse that I spoke of a while ago, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That's what I'm here for. I come to seek and to save that which was lost. I have come to walk this path. A number of times He told the disciples, told Peter, it's not quite time yet. That isn't. I got to keep on track with the time. Down there in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. To the Father, praying in my and your behalf that His perspiration, His sweat, as we call it, became great drops of blood. Going to the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 24. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Richard didn't have enough sense to come and get saved the first time God asked him to come. But God is long-suffering. God is willing, not willing that any of us should perish. So he kept coming back. And he kept coming back. Folks, tonight, we all have friends and loved ones up and down the road and scattered around the world, probably, most of us, that are lost. We need to see them saved. Don't give up. God didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on you. He's not going to give up on them tonight. As we look back to what it is that God has given us, what God has done for us every day, praise His holy name. Folks, I know there's a lot of folks out there tonight that if we can get rid of hell and we don't need God, so we don't have to worship Him. We can just go do our own thing. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you what. Hell is literal. It's there. The lake of fire is there. You're going to go there. And as a teenager, we had this idea, well, you know, we send ourselves to hell. But folks, you're going to stand before God. He's going to judge. Jesus is going to judge us. And in Luke, I believe it is, there's a story of a fellow that was preparing a feast for his son's wedding. And a bunch of folks was invited. When it come time to come to the wedding, they said, nah, I got to go look at this and I got to go about doing this. And folks, we're in a world today that says, nah, I ain't got time for all that religion stuff. But he told his servants, told his army, he said, go get them, bind them, and cast them into utter darkness. One of these days, Jesus will come. He will gather them up, judge them, and cast them into the lake of fire, where they will burn or be tormented forever and forever. Don't know really how to stop talking tonight, so as we think of those that we love, as we think of those that are our friends and neighbors, let us not give up, because God hasn't given up on them. God hasn't given up on them.